Chapter 1. Nostalgia, Navigation, and Near Disasters. The cockpit of the SS Anubis hummed with the low, mechanical groan of a ship, not quite ready for its first jump. The crew, Big Dog, Gerald, and Chaz, floated in their chairs like three old men swapping stories at a dive bar. Except their bar was a voidcraft, and their stories were about 1990s cheat devices. Game Genie, Big Dog insisted, tapping his visor as if it were a dusty arcade machine. I think that was for Sega. Probably Game Shark, Gerald countered, his voice tinged with the kind of certainty that usually preceded a wrong answer. Game Shark was for 64. Chaz, slouched in the engineer's seat, snorted. For what? You could create your own cheats. Exactly, Big Dog said, leaning forward. You'd almost kind of have to program it yourself. Like you'd go into it and then start the game with Game Shark. And then you'd select. Or you'd figure out a way to keep you at infinite health that way, Gerald interjected. I don't think I'm. And it usually would break your game, Big Dog finished, grinning. What? The debate dissolved into overlapping laughter, but the tension lingered like static in the air. They were all thinking the same thing. This is how we're going to die. Nostalgia and confusion. The ship systems whined as Gerald fumbled with the astromap. Okay, we're about to jump into the void, boys, he announced, his voice cracking like a teen idol's. Hold on to your butts. Is everyone seated? I don't know where to sit, Chaz muttered, his avatar floating helplessly near a flickering engine core. Smoke billowed from the viewport, a visual gag only space simulators could pull off. Port has four letters and left has four letters, Big Dog said, slapping his control panel. Starboard has two R's, so it's right. Star has four letters, too, Gerald shot back, his avatar's helmet flashing red. So does void and jump. Port is left, Chaz said, finally latching onto a chair. Starboard is right, star is right. And port is left, Gerald repeated, as if reciting a spell. Port has a T in it, left. And right also has a T in it, so. They're both in college and team, Big Dog deadpanned. The vessel lurched as the void drive charged. Outside, asteroids glittered like jagged diamonds. Gerald's avatar, now seated barely, scanned the area. If I zig when the game thinks I'm gonna zag, he muttered, I'm about to thrust or boost. He did. The ship veered left port, and Big Dog's gun turret, mounted on the port side, swung wide open. Oh, crap, Gerald said. Then I'm already probably taking you the wrong way. That's an oopsie. The ambush began with mines. Mines, Big Dog shouted, his gunner avatar firing wild bursts at red triangles. You want me to shoot them? Don't know if it'll give us away, Gerald said, his hands trembling. Or no, maybe it'll make them angrier. Chaz, now in the engine room, waved a periscope like a mad scientist. I'm fixing the ship out here. No, sorry. The mines closed in. The vessel shuddered. Somewhere, an oxygen tank hissed. Try, can you jump out and look at it? Big Dog asked. I'm only at 23% oxygen, Chaz replied, his voice warbling with static. I only have 23%. Then don't, Gerald said, unless you want to be a space ghost. The supply drop retrieval was a disaster. Hayes, the new engineer, tumbled through the airlock like a ragdoll. I didn't do anything, I don't think, he wheezed as the hull breached. You gotta repressurize it once the door, Chaz barked, but it was too late. The oxygen levels plummeted. Big Dog, ever the optimist, shouted over the chaos. We could make a weapon system with this, or a shield. Or we could not die, Gerald muttered, activating the gravity scoop. Requires line of sight proximity. Okay, well, I guess is that not enough proximity? The systems whined. The crew's banter dissolved into panic shouts. Somewhere, a hull breach alarm blared. And then, as if the universe had finally had enough, Hayes screamed. I don't like that I'm so cold. The chapter closed with the Anubis limping toward the next mission, its hull patched with desperation and duct tape. To be continued, next, the crew debates Tulsa, faces a destroyer, and learns that Doug Flutie action is not a real thing. Chapter 2, the Void Shrine heist the mission briefing the SS. Anubis thrummed with the mechanical groan of a vessel half awake. Gerald, hunched over the controls, squinted at the holographic mission prompt as if it might apologize for its complexity. Normal sounds like a coward would do it, Chaz muttered, leaning against the engineering console, his fingers drumming a nervous rhythm. Big Dog, sprawled in the gunner's seat, adjusted his headset with a grin. Remember, Gerald, port has an R in it. The joke fell flat. Gerald was too busy fumbling with the helm controls to notice. The crew's debate over difficulty settings dissolved into chaos as the Void Shrine's coordinates flickered to life. We have to bring the homunculus to the shrine, Chaz explained, his voice sharp with the kind of impatience reserved for people who don't know how to read a manual. Gerald, as usual, waved off the technical jargon. I'll just turn things off and on again, he said, as if that were a strategy. Hull breach and nanoalloy panic mid-debate, the ship shuddered. A red alert blared. Critical hull breach in Sector 3. The air reeked of burnt plastic and regret. Smells like wrong dog in here, Gerald quipped, though his hands trembled as he navigated to the breach. Chaz, already suited up, snorted. It smells like top surgery in here. The crew's banter dissolved into urgency as they scrambled for nanoalloy. I think we can recycle those crates we missed earlier, Chaz said, hacking at the console. He had a different idea. What if we just launch a nuke at the void? Big Dog laughed. Son, they got us. Combat and the gravity scoop gambit, the shrine's defenses activated with a groan of ancient machinery. Hollow units swarmed the vessel, their jagged forms slicing through the void like razors. They got us, Big Dog shouted, his turret spitting plasma. Gerald, now envisioning himself as a tactical genius, switched the payload launcher to starboard. Fire and tactical nukes, he declared, though his aim left much to be desired. Mid the chaos, the gravity scoop became their lifeline. Just drive by with it on the starboard side, Chaz instructed, as Gerald weaved through debris. The scoop hummed, latching onto loot like a cosmic vacuum. Oh, we're getting on Scooby, Gerald marveled, though his celebration was short-lived. Friendly fire struck the hull and Big Dog winced. Definitely Indiana Jones, he muttered. Homunculus activation and the race to jump with the homunculus in place, the shrine's core flared to life. Man, that sounded ominous, Chaz observed, as void suppressors began their slow, grinding descent. Their coordination improved, just enough. He dodged a summoned monstrosity. The gunner overheat-cooled his turret with a dramatic sigh, and Chaz rerouted power to shields. One more suppressor, Gerald panted, his voice cracking under the strain. The void jump countdown began. Y'all seated? Gerald asked, steering the ship away from a last-minute ambush. Punch it, Big Dog barked. The Anubis lurched into the tunnel, its mechanisms groaning. Void tunnel stability, 93%. No one knew what that meant, but as the ship stabilized, Chaz smirked. This game's fun. Good job. Post-mission. Upgrades and accidental deconstructions, the trio collapsed into their chairs, half laughing, half crying. Oops, I accidentally threw it, Gerald admitted, as he stared at a deconstructed weapon module. Recycle relics, Chaz said, already planning their next move. The gunner, ever optimistic, debated whether to upgrade their Doug Flutie action, whatever that meant. As the vessel's mechanisms hummed with new upgrades, the Anubis drifted toward the next mission. Gerald, still in his suit, sniffed the air. Still smells like top surgery in here, he mused. Chaz snorted. We're not just surviving, we're optimizing. To be continued next. The crew faces a rogue asteroid field and a mysterious new mission. Will their upgrades be enough, or is the void about to swallow them whole? Chapter 3. The void's grind and the gravity of survival, the SS. Anubis groaned like a stressed whale as it drifted toward the derelict satellite, its hull patched with duct tape and half-baked hull repair plates. Inside the cockpit, Gerald's fingers danced over the helm like a man conducting a symphony of chaos. If you're having to run back and forth between stuff, he muttered, I swear, this game's just a glorified fetch quest with lasers. Assuming that's how it works, Iron Bookcase replied, his voice tinny over the comms as he fumbled with a fabricator. Okay, now I put this here. A metallic clunk echoed through the ship. Oh, we could get. Did we ever use one, though? Gerald shot back, eyes darting to the tactical display. A swarm of remnant fighters flickered into existence, their crimson hulls slicing through the void like hungry piranhas. What I want to do is fire a nuke at a big all-chip. Too much, Chaz said, his oxygen mask fogging as he clambered into the engineering bay. I think I was doing that. I just couldn't figure. His voice trailed off as the ship's alarms wailed. A mine detonated outside, sending tremors through the frame. The EVA repair mission was a ballet of near-fatal mistakes. Iron Bookcase, suited up in a patchwork of mismatched gear, floated toward the breached hull. I just baked one, he announced as he deployed a hull repair plate, the device sizzling like a space griddle. Oh, I didn't take my jacket off, he realized too late, his oxygen reserves spiking as a mine drifted closer. Meanwhile, Gerald juked the satellite's debris field, his voice cracking with faux epic bravado. Ooh, there's a baddie. That's a destroyer, actually not far from us. He veered port starboard, he dubbed it, because port was too boring for a space opera. The ship's starboard turret, manned by Big Dog, spat fire at an incoming frigate. I can't shake him, Big Dog growled, his gun overheating. He's right ahead of us. Nice, Gerald said, as if he'd orchestrated the entire disaster. Oh, he's been alerted. Here, blast these mines. The gravity scoop hummed to life, its magnetic tendrils snatching power cells and data shards like a cosmic vacuum cleaner. Oh yeah, let's try it, Gerald said, tossing a salvaged weapon to Iron Bookcase. Throw it at me. Oh, it worked. The plate clattered into the scoop, its blue glow reflecting off the crew's grimy visors. But power management was a fickle mistress. We're using a lot of energy, boys, Iron Bookcase warned, his voice fraying as he juggled shield energy and weapon systems. Chaz, meanwhile, was a mad scientist in the engine room, jury-rigging batteries with a mix of hope and duct tape. "I don't know how to use it," he admitted, as a reclaimer ship loomed on the scanners. "But I'm an engineer. I'll figure it out." The chaos crescendoed when the boss fight ambushed them. A hulking remnant colossus materialized, its invulnerability nodes glowing like taunts. "We have to hit the invulnerability nodes first," Big Dog barked, his gunner's instincts flaring. Gerald, dodging a hail of mines, muttered, "It's possible we should have jumped sooner." As the crew's teamwork teetered between brilliance and brinkmanship, the SS Anubis's systems flickered. A data shard, glowing like a void-born firefly, materialized near the satellite. "I got the data shard," Iron Bookcase said, his voice trembling. "They're like their summons." To be continued, Chapter 4. By the skin of our teeth, the SS Anubis shuddered like a drunkard's dance partner, its hull groaning as Gerald's trembling fingers jabbed at the navigation console. "Where's the jump at? Where's the jump at?" he yelped, as if the void would hand him a teleport button if he screamed loud enough. Chaz, slumped in the engineering chair, muttered, "It's not charged," while Big Dog barked, "Go, go, go," like a drill sergeant hyping up a caffeinated toddler. The ship's shields flickered at 6%, a number so pitiful it could have been a typo. "We had 6%. Wow," Gerald breathed, as if the universe had just handed them a cosmic game over and they'd somehow scribbled continue on it. The data shards, glowing green capsules Chaz had dubbed space pokeballs, spun into orbit, summoning spectral allies that dodged debris like they'd seen the Matrix. "They're like summons," Gerald mused, watching the phantom ships vanish in a puff of solar flare. "Neat," he added, because nothing says existential crisis like a backhanded compliment to your own survival. "I was able to upgrade and I can do more damage, faster fire, and more range," Big Dog announced, leaning back as if he'd just invented the laser cannon. Chaz snorted. "What we could have done was upgrade our shield and our hull. But no, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking." The engineer's sarcasm was as thick as the ship's leaking oxygen, but even he couldn't deny the thrill of swapping out the shoddy Shuriken Gatling for a kinetic point defense system. "Kinetic point defense Mark I. That's pretty cool. Destroys incoming missiles and proximity mines," Gerald read aloud, his voice tinged with the glee of a kid who just learned fireballs weren't real. Yet for every upgrade, there was a breach. "We have at least 3 major hull breaches," Chaz sighed, poking at a hologram of the ship that looked like a punctured balloon. Gerald, the eternal optimist, chimed in. "Ooh, that's a cool color," as he cycled through a palette of space camouflage options that somehow included hieroglyphics. "You know how much I love that Egypt stuff," he said, because nothing says intergalactic explorer like a headdress of ancient symbols. The debate over returning to the hub was as dramatic as a soap opera. 6% is real, Gerald insisted, while Chaz calculated. "Your current collection of system modules and items will be automatically converted and included in this bonus." It wasn't just math, it was a gamble. "We're about to lose everything," Gerald warned. "Maybe that's the thing about the artifacts." Artifacts, data shards, void flu, this wasn't just a game, it was a metaphor, or maybe just a really expensive one. As the ship docked, the crew slumped into their chairs, half exhausted, half ecstatic. "We should definitely play this game again," Big Dog declared, his voice already drifting toward sleep. Chaz nodded. "I'm down. I'm down." Gerald, the poetic one, summed it up best. "That's a good time." The galaxy spun on, full of new ships, new missions, and the faint, terrifying promise of permadeath. But for now, they'd earned their rest. To be continued. Next, will the crew brave the void again, or will the Rogalite curse claim their ship? And who's paying for those hull repairs?